Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I don't think he does. I've always said that the Mike McCarthy's a good coach. He's a good coach. Now
you have, and it took me a minute to get it.
Because now there's overwhelming evidence of success. Like, what? How many years was he with Green Bay, and they were in contention like every year?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes over to Dallas, and immediately they're in contention for three of his 4 years or three of his 5 years, whatever. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. And to your point, who are you going to get that's better than him? Sometimes that's not a good enough reason to hold on to somebody. You know what I mean? Because, like, oh, who are you going to get that's better than him? Well, that's a separate conversation. I just know that this isn't working. That's why we got to move on from him.
Mike McCarthy took the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs 8 straight years.
Including went 13 a Super Bowl, huh?
went 13-3 his second year. Went to the playoffs, that's 9 years, 9 out of his first 11 seasons. Finished 7-9 after that run, 4-7 ultimately cost his job. Joined the Dallas Cowboys 2 years later, finished 6-10 in 2020. Then 3 consecutive 12-5 seasons, followed by the 7-10 season this year.
Mm. Yeah, I think Dallas, I'm not even saying this like as a 49ers fan, like, oh, you'll never win with Mike McCarthy. I don't feel that way about him. I think Dallas should hold on to him. Or not. I don't care. But like I think he's a good coach. And when you talk about the way they've built that team now with Dak Prescott, with CeeDee Lamb, and giving them that money, they've built it for offense. So you probably want an offensive coach there that could get the most out of them. I can't imagine somebody getting more out of CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Maybe somebody can get more out of the running game, but now you're starting to talk about who's in control of the personnel.
Yeah.
You know, who's making those decisions. And that may have more of a be more of a problem to what's going on with the Cowboys than Mike McCarthy's coaching.
Really, man.
Get on board with us, Jesse. Oh, Jesse walked
Jesse
out.
Jesse quit. Yeah, he's like, this conversation has gotten so out of hand, Jesse left. It's like, I can't, these two idiots.
Think we're like, no, Jesse left. He said,
no, yeah, that's the shoot. He's gone.
I'm gone.
He's gone. Oh, well.
Yeah,
complete. Hold on. Hold on, Kyle Madsen, we got to run in.
With that stupid hat he's got on.
What's wrong with his hat?
Big Buckeyes guy. Everybody knows it. If you know me, you know Ohio for life. I'm talking Terrell Pryor. I'm talking Kirk Herbstreit. Maurice Claret was robbed.
Sweater vest.
Jim Tressel didn't do anything wrong.
You see, I got this burn.
Everybody knows it.
For a reason.
Everybody knows it.
Come on, this one up right here.
Come on, Sark. Come on, Sark.
Hook him right here.
It's horns down. Am I right? Mike McCarthy stinks. What are we doing here?
Oh, no.
Really?
He sucks, bro.
No.
What are we doing?
He sucks. Why does he suck? Pause.
Because,
like, tell me why he's a bad coach.
Because have you ever in any spot been like, you know what this team needs? Mike McCarthy. Like, I've never trusted a Mike McCarthy team in the playoffs, ever.
But how many coaches do you do that with?
Several. The good ones.
No, the great ones. I don't think the good ones. I think it's the great ones. Like, you do that with Andy.
I think you count them on one hand.
Are the Cowboys, let's say they run it back with Mike McCarthy, are Cowboys Super Bowl contenders next year?
No, because of the quarterback.
No, the roster's not good enough.
Really?
No, it's not.
Okay.
They have no run game whatsoever.
They've got no linebackers ever. They're soft in the middle. They can be run on. And I don't trust the quarterback. I think the quarterback was the 2 years ago when they went into Levi's, he was the only one that wasn't ready to play. Everybody on that coaching staff and on that team was ready to play. At defense, Kyle, you watched every second of that game. It was a game.
They were
competing.
Around.
The only person that wasn't ready to play was the quarterback.
They're also old. Are getting old, like not the obviously Micah's not. You know, they have those three players that I think we fixate on and don't look around. Like DeMarcus Lawrence is aged like 5 years per year for the last 5 years. He's a 25-year vet at this point.
Awesome. His prime was like 12 games.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't believe.
I think the Cowboys roster is better than
they finished 7-10 without their starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they missed their window with this group.
Maybe that's true.
To that point, I don't think they maximized their window because I think Mike McCarthy isn't good enough.
Yeah. Well,
I think Dak Prescott is a good player. I don't think the head coach maximized.
When's the last time Dak played good in the playoffs when it really counted?
It was a while ago.
He played good against the Bucks 2 years ago. That sorry Bucks team.
No, it was a playoff team, man.
Were they 9-8 in the South?
It was a playoff team, Kenneth.
Facts.
They were sorry. I think Tom Brady was.
Yeah, they're not going to win anything.
He performs every time.
What coaches do you go? This is what the team needs. You get what Andy, maybe Mike Tomlin. Who else?
Are we sure with Mike Tomlin? Do you know the New York Giants have won a playoff game more recently than Mike Tomlin?
And they're probably going to lose again.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay. Mike Tomlin hasn't had a bad season in his career.
But if you flip Mike McCarthy and Mike Tomlin, the Steelers get dramatically worse and the Cowboys get dramatically better. Same rosters. Facts.
Dramatically.
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true because I think Mike McCarthy is a good offensive coach, and I don't think he could have coached.
You think
that
he's a good
team.
Offensive coach? That's fine.
I think Mike Tomlin
think
is
a good
defensive coach too. I think he's a great head coach. So again, let me go back to the original question: Who do you point to? What coach do you point to? Go, this team needs this guy outside of Andy Reid.
Don't fix it on that. I misstated.
That's fine.
No, it's good.
Thank you.
No, I've never gone into a playoff game and been like, I'm going to pick that team.
I know.
That Green Bay game was embarrassing. That's at home.
Dude, who,
47, what is it, 47-7?
Who's the one that was throwing picks left and right? Pick sixes. He was awful. He was awful. You never felt that way about Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. You were a little worried.
What do you mean a little worried?
Like the Niners go into Green Bay with the snow. You think that – oh, he wasn't a coach then. No. But the Niners go into Niners going to Green Bay with when Cap, the below 7 degrees game. Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are there. You were like, oh, man, I don't like this, huh? Were we confident they were going to beat that team? They were the better.
I don't
the Niners
remember.
Were the
God,
better
that was
team.
So freaking long ago.
The Niners were the better team, but it was like, damn, we gotta go there, and it's freezing and all this other stuff.
Nah, I have never feared Mike McCarthy as a coach.
Let me ask you this: Would the Dallas Cowboys be better with Dan Quinn?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Thank you. I'm a broadcast journalist.
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no.
Come on. Do I also get Cliff Kingsbury as my OC?
I'm gonna say no. Well, no to that. But.
Fine.
Yes. The Cowboys are better this year.
No. But y'all know how I feel. The problem is the guy who picks left and right when the games are on the line. Like left and right. Like there ain't no scheming for that. And he's just throwing it to the other team.
Going back to the 2013 when the Niners went into Green Bay and won with Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. I think the Niners are going to lose every game. So that doesn't
yeah, that's
doesn't
yeah, that's a true story.
Doesn't do anything for me. All right. Jesse's back now.
That's fine. That's fire. Take.
Jesse said, "I'm not participating."
I love that Kyle.
In this Mike McCarthy stuff.
I love that Kyle just walked in and said, "No, you guys are idiots. This is stupid." Well, what are you guys doing? Expand the insiders to 4 hours and shut you guys down to 2 hours, idiots. I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I was getting my hair cut today, watching, you know, this stuff on Mike McCarthy and that contract thing, and I just like my barber's a Cowboys fan, and I'm like, man, I think I'm doing a 180 on him, a babyface turn on Mike McCarthy here.
Check this out real quick. I'm looking. Dak Prescott had the one game I'm talking about against Tampa Bay, where he had 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, cooking.
Mm-hmm.
For his playoff career, he's 14-7 as far as touchdowns to interceptions. Take away that Tampa game, we're looking at 10-7. Then he had a terrible game against Green Bay last.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Where he had 3 touchdowns. Like, we all watched the game and said he sucked. It was garbage time. This guy's been awful.
James Harden?
Yes.
Empty calories in the playoffs.
Perfect.
James Harden, Aaron Judge, and Dak Prescott.
Well, why did Aaron Judge get included in this?
It's just the three of each of their sports, respective sports, who show up in the regular season but don't do a damn thing in the playoffs year
Leave
after
Aaron
year.
Out of this. How many times has Aaron even been in the playoffs?
Enough.
All right. I said I was going to tease this conversation, and we just had the whole conversation, so we'll come back. We'll come back. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we'll talk basketball. Well, maybe we'll talk football. Find out. D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, no, wait a second.
What do you got?
Now, wait a minute.
What happened here? What happened? That's Derek, him.
Derek, what's the name? Yeah, that's the guy, right?
I don't think so.
He
that's
looks,
him?
Is that
the same
that's the right
guy?
Guy?
I don't think that's him. I'm pulling him up. Let me get Dak Prescott's stats out of here. Let me pull him up.
Oh, no, maybe it is. Okay, now.
Derek Boudoir?
Yeah. I don't think that's a – I don't think – he's on Insecure?
He was Amanda Seale's husband.
Really? Okay.
Let me see. Where is it?
I guess I'm –
Well, this
ah.
So
okay.
his name is actually the first one that I said.
Okay. Wait, what?
Yeah, his name is the first
Derek
one that
Dubois.
I said.
That
yeah,
that ain't him.
His Derek Dubois is the character he plays on Insecure. He's Diego on Snowfall.
Okay,
he's,
well the Google search works just fine. okay. So he's not a black dude, huh?
And what's his name? What's his real name?
I don't know. I'm looking. I searched Derek Dubois, and that got what I was looking for.
Oh, it did?
Well, yeah, so because confused. It's his. Well, because I searched Derek Dubois Insecure.
Ah.
His real name is Wade Elaine Marcus.
Well, that's him. I don't know what's going on. I just know he came on Snowfall. I saw him on Snowfall, and I was like, oh, that's a dude from Insecure. And then it was just all Spanish speaking, and I was confused.
Okay. He does. Okay. Boy, Hollywood is crazy. Does this brother not have a Wikipedia page?
I don't know, but
I'm looking.
On his
I can't
Google.
Find it either.
I'm on
it. Brody, how does Brody not have a Wikipedia page?
I'm on his Google.
His IMDb page is just blank too.
Yeah, but it doesn't say. Yeah, Wade is a black guy. Like Wikipedia would say that. All right, there's his. Okay, I can look up his mom.
He does have an IMDb. Oh, it's blank. You said. Yeah.
No, he does. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Mm. D'Lo and Casey, you're home for searching obscure actors. All because Kenny asks a question during a commercial break that we can't figure out the answer to quick enough. Oh, no. Yeah. So his mom is black.
Well.
Yeah, his mom Stephanie, is an American film producer.
And he was a Colombian drug henchman on Snowfall.
Well, let's see what his father does. His father's name is Jesse.
Shout out.
Still a possibility here.
He might not be. And see what. Oh, that can't be. That cannot be this man's father. There's no way that's his father.
Maybe his
son. I need
to
read this again. No, brother. That's his brother. Okay. Son of Stephanie, brother of Jesse. Got it. All right. His brother has a degree in English literature with a concentration in race and ethnicity. What was the question again?
Well,
is it
was,
the same guy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, clearly it is.
Yeah.
I got fixated on whether he's black or not.
And there goes his Instagram with him and Amanda on set.
That was a great show.
That was a great
That's
show.
One of the...
I loved Insecure.
That's one of the great shows of our generation.
I agree. 100%. I loved that show. That show was fantastic.
Insecure was fantastic, and the last episode was pretty perfect.
It got a little dusty too. I ain't gonna lie to you. When her and Molly were, you know, we've been on this journey with them for 5 years.
For sure.
I was like, oh damn, man, got a little dusty.
Okay, I can't say that happened with me, but I certainly enjoyed it.
Those my friends. That's a good show. Those are my friends. Definitely.
Yeah. Let's get TC in here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. I hope he's not paying attention again because that would make this so much better. 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
What's up with my two brothers?
TC, what's popping,
baby? TC, that energy level different today, TC.
I know. Hey, look. Hey, that was wild yesterday at that university, bro. That lady was talking crazy.
What'd she say?
She was trying to pack. So, look, bro, so we unloading, right, off my truck, and she's like, it's already tight. You know how it's super tight, Kenny, right? Or, you know, D-Lo, you know, too, at Stanford, right, university. It's super tight. Everybody running around. So she's trying to park in this tight spot where we already got it blocked off. And she's, like, yelling out the window, talking crazy. Y'all got to get out of here. Move. And I'm like, man, this lady is crazy. And y'all put me on.
Hey, TC, the whole. The whole chatty house was riding with you, bro. It's all right. It's all right, man. We had your back.
Thank you. Hey, look, I just wanted to tap on that.
University president.
Bro, I was up there, Kenny. Hey, so Kyle came in talking about McCarthy. What's different between McCarthy and Shanahan? McCarthy got a ring, though. So, like, if we're talking about people suck, I mean, McCarthy got winning seasons, too, and been in NFC championship games and all that. The only difference between him and Kyle is he got a ring, and Kyle don't. Everybody treat Kyle like he got a ring and talk about McCarthy like he ain't got a ring.
Well, one of the differences is Kyle beats his ass every time he plays him. That's a difference.
Kyle don't have a ring. Kyle don't have a ring.
Well, that's what the difference was. Don't dismiss the difference. He beats the hell out of him. His teams beat the hell out of him every time he sees him.
I get it, but what makes a difference about Kyle doesn't suck and McCarthy sucks? Because what are we talking about? Wins and losses are like how they prepare to, like, what are we talking about with that?
So
McCarthy still has a ring.
Let me ask you, TC. I know you're I think you're a 49ers fan.
Over Kyle, bro.
Okay,
we're not
I understand.
Winning nothing with that
okay,
guy.
All right. Let's woo-saw through this. I'm gonna ask you a question about the Dallas Cowboys. If you're the Cowboys, do you fire Mike McCarthy? Or do you not renew his contract or whatever?
You might have to ride with McCarthy again unless you got something lined up. I like that.
TC, do you hear yourself?
Yeah, and TC. I'm about to, before he even said, I'm going to ask the follow-up. Do you think McCarthy sucks?
McCarthy's a cool coach. I don't think I would move on from him unless he has Dan Quinn.
So hold on. What's the difference? Why does Kyle suck and McCarthy doesn't?
Kenny, we should have kept D'Amico Ryan or Robert Sala.
That's not even answering the question. That's not answering the question. You said Mike McCarthy a cool coach. Kyle beats his ass every time he sees him. Why is he cool and Kyle sucks?
He has a ring, man.
That was 15 years ago, TC.
With a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Hey, it's still a ring, y'all. This guy, Kate.
So he eats free. Mike McCarthy eats free forever because he has a ring.
No, he doesn't. So Kyle gets to be free because we keep going to NFC Championship games?
No one said he's free. He just shouldn't be fired right now.
I get it.
All right.
You know what? Hey, listen, I love y'all, bro. We just don't see eye to eye on that.
That's all right, TC.
Love you too,
that's
TC.
That's what we do. It's the game. It's the game. That's all right. Tap in whatever you want to and fire Kyle Shanahan. It's not a problem, but it was crazy to relate Mike McCarthy and Kyle Shanahan and talk about Kyle being fired and then say that the Dallas Cowboys should keep Shanahan. Mike McCarthy.
Right. Right. Whereas I think they're both good coaches. I think they're both should keep their job.
Oh, man. How could we ever forget when TC said Rex Ryan should be the coach?
Well,
Rex Ryan, by the way, we haven't talked about this. Rex Ryan is making an ass out of himself, right?
What do you do now?
I've got this Jets job locked up. Like, he's doing media appearances talking about he believes he's going to be the next head coach of the New York Jets. That's incredible to me. He just interviewed yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what's crazy, the fact that he's saying that or the fact that he was even interviewed.
I feel like Rex Ryan has some
talk about it
plan in the background or something. Maybe he's promoting something coming up. Because he was talking about, I'm so much better than these guys. They're interviewing and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like almost like, it's almost like not how you go about a job.
I try not to say these things lightly because we really prided ourselves in not taking shots at most people through the 4-year duration. There might be some exceptions. 23 in San Francisco, we might have taken a couple of shots at. But I don't think Rex Ryan is a very bright individual. When I hear him talk, I think, like, this is a person who has no people skills whatsoever. Like, he, for the last, I don't know how many years it's been several that he's been on television, and everyone said Rex Ryan is going to be brilliant on television. And he wasn't. When he first started, he was terrible. He was uninsightful. He was just a babbling goof. Then he started insulting people. He started insulting players. He basically tried to take the Charles Barkley role. I don't like what Charles does at all. But he has the equity with most NBA players, and I guess fans too, to call out the Anthony Davis out his name, to make jokes about Zion Williamson's weight, to do all of this stuff, and kind of, I guess, get away with it. Rex doesn't. And Rex would have sit up here and talk about players like, oh, man, he's trash. And now you're going to go coaching in the league again? I don't know about that.
And I think that's part of, like,
that's a lack of awareness to me.
Yeah, lack of awareness and part of, like, why he's a problem or potentially is a problem as a coach, because he gets caught up in that. Because I watch Sunday Countdown. I think they do a really good job on ESPN Sunday Countdown. And when he's not doing that, he actually, like, says good things and says insightful things. Like, he does do what we thought Rex Ryan would do. But I think he gets caught up in, like you said, trying to be Charles
Barkley.
He took
on a character.
Or trying to be all this other stuff. And that's what people see. Like, people who don't get to watch, that's what they see from Rex Ryan. And that's what carries around with him. And I think that's what happens as a coach. He gets caught up in this persona of Rex Ryan instead of just trying to be a good coach. and he ends up looking like a clown.
You know what? I think Stephen A's worst influence has been on sports media is he has conditioned everybody to think they have to yell. And Rex yells a lot. And I think if you just turn the volume down on Rex Ryan, you'd be right. Like, yeah, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense, especially coming from a coach. Mm-hmm. I wish he didn't scream it at me for the last 2.5 minutes, but I think I understand what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I've heard Rex say a lot that are like, oh, let's get it. I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
But then he got thrown to character.
Mode. But then he'd follow it up with, yeah, I can't. He's trash. How is he even in the league? And it's like, all right.
Like,
man.
Why? Like, what? Like,
all right, man.
Yeah.
Did you see that clip of Myles Garrett in the, I can't remember who the Browns played, but the brother says, he's walking next to Miles. He goes, hey, man, you know I'm a nobody, but can I get that jersey after the game? And Miles says, brother, you're in the league. Your team's playing great. You ain't never a nobody. He said, you know, I got you. And got him his jersey after the game.
That's what's up. That's like, really cool.
That's pretty dope.
That's really cool. Absolutely. I hadn't seen that yet.
Meanwhile, Rex calling someone on TV trash. Like, yeah. This is just different ways to talk to people. And maybe I said that wrong. Rex is a really intelligent individual. I stand by the fact that he doesn't have people skills.
One way or another, to be honest with you, I don't know if he is or not.
Well, I think you're right, though. I think he does offer, football-wise, he does offer good insight in between his nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hits the nonsense button, it's like, bro, you don't have skills with people.
Right.
Right. And his most memorable the line I think everyone remembers from Rex Ryan. If I said recite one line from Rex Ryan, what would you say? You know what it is.
I don't know, man. I was gonna say,
let's go get a goddamn snack.
I wasn't thinking.
Oh, which one was you thinking? Something to do with feet. It's okay.
That's where my mind went to.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what quote he has with feet.
I'm Rex Ryan, and I like feet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
These are my wife. Then he showed her feet on his.
Bro, yes. ESPN did like a Sports Center segment on it. Like a SC featured on his wife's feet.
SC featured on his wife's feet. SC featured on his wife's feet is hilarious. Damn. But to your point about Rex Ryan, I would look at Rex Ryan if I was a player and he came in as a coach and he said, guys, I'm your new coach. I'm like, this guy's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing.
Imagine Charles Barkley trying to coach players after all of this.
I'd be like, all right, man. Like, I'm not listening to much of anything you say because there's no substance in what somebody like that says on a consistent basis. Like, how am I going to trust you? How am I going to follow you in tough times? Like, that would just be my mind. Cause when it gets tough, you're just going to either blame somebody or just come up with some, it's nothing solid.
Rex Ryan, man, is this right? Rex Ryan hasn't coached since 2016.
Man, that's a little sooner than I thought. He was with the Jets in 2016.
No, he was with Buffalo.
Oh,
he coached Buffalo for 2 years.
Damn, I didn't remember that. How'd he do there?
8-8 and 7-8 was fired in the 2016 season.
I forgot about Buffalo. He finished New York in what, probably like 2011? Because he got to 2 AFC championship games, huh?
He got to his first two seasons, he got to the AFC championship game. Then 8-8, 6-10, 8-8, 4-12, finished New York 46-50 record, went to Buffalo, went 8-8, 7-8, and that was it. 2016 was it.
Mm. I just wouldn't be looking to hire him. I just wouldn't.
Just saw the connection, didn't know. It's my bad. Just seeing this for the first time, didn't know.
What'd you say?
Who owns the Jets?
Oh, Woody.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to guess what presidential candidate Rex Ryan introduced at a rally in 2016?
No need.
Making a little bit more sense. It's like, how's Rex even getting an interview? I know now.
That's his boy. I mean, and somebody like Woody Johnson, who is incompetent at running a franchise. I don't have a problem saying that.
No, you're right, because there was all that stuff was coming out in The Athletic, I think it was, and Woody Johnson was talking about, why is he this bad? His Madden rating is like this.
Yeah, come on, man. This guy's incompetent. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always aware of that because of what we always talk about with people outside talking about, like, Vivek and the Kings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware that I don't want to be one of those people talking about stuff that I don't know about. But I've seen enough to say what he's incompetent. And he is the type of guy that would say, well, let's just go back to the last time mm-hmm. we were good. Mm-hmm. We had Rex here. That's mm-hmm. when things were working.
Yep.
All right.
Ignoring the fact that Rex was there 4 years after you weren't good anymore.
So I have no
Also, Rex Ryan is going to coach your next quarterback? Rex Ryan is going to coach. So the Jets are just planning to destroy another young quarterback's future. That's great. Shout out to Fireman. What's his name?
Is it Ed?
I don't remember.
I think it's Fireman Ed.
I think he's been.
It is Fireman Ed.
Okay.
Didn't he quit on the Jets?
Yeah, did he quit on the Jets?
He tells it like the Jets quit on him.
Oh, man.
That's been an ongoing saga. Like, legit. Like, he's like, yeah, they've been showing me on the video board, like, less and less now.
Oh, that's
I'm
right.
not even joking. And Woody Johnson, the story was that Woody Johnson actually nixed a trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating was too low.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Fireman Ed has a Wikipedia page.
Well, why doesn't Wade Allen Marcus?
I don't know.
What is
he's not Fireman Ed.
What's Fireman Ed talking about on his Wikipedia? Is he from Queens?
Fireman Ed is, it says New York City. He's 65 years old. He's an actual New York City firefighter. He was injured on the job in 2017. Fireman Ed left the game of the famous butt fumble game before halftime, stating that he would no longer lead cheers at Jets games as Fireman Ed.
I don't blame him.
At the first game of the 2015 NFL season, Fireman Ed returned to lead cheers for the Jets.
I got an ESPN article on October 17th of 2024. Jets superfan Fireman Ed says team is phasing him out.
Man, that is terrific.
Oh, man, poor Fireman Ed.
Jets also have the longest playoff drought in sports right now.
Oof. Oh,
I believe they're the only double-digit team.
That feels good. Say it again.
Yeah, they have the longest playoff drought, the only double-digit team as far as years, I believe.
That's terrific. Even the Raiders have made the playoffs before them.
That is terrific. Man, quiet down.
What's he talking about?
Goodness. I thought that was Kawhi Leonard. It was not. Wow. Mike McCarthy and Fireman Ed all here in the 1 o'clock hour.
And Alan. Wade Allen.
The guy from Insecure and apparently Snowfall as well.
Kings don't play till Friday either.
What season are you on, Snowfall?
Just finished 4.
And 5 is the last one? Or 6 is the last
one? Yeah, 6 is the last one.
Okay, so I think this is the weird
season. Yeah, all right. You're going to have to just push through it, okay?
5 is the weird one.
Yeah, just get through it. That's it. Every show has one weird season. This is it.
There's some, like...
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
There's the, what is this moment? Like, that happens a few times. And where are you?
I'm season 5 of Lost. We're starting to get answers, but I'm trying to figure out what the whole point of all this is. Like... Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, don't hurt yourself.
That's what I figured, yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
It's starting to be like there's more transparency as far as like who's from where and everyone's backstory. Yeah. But it's like, all right, what are we trying to solve here?
Yeah.
We also got some other good news. I do have the Peacock account ready to go, so I'm going to watch The Office tonight.
What do you mean ready to go?
It's up and ready to go.
You ordered it. You subscribed.
Well, come to find out, I was never unsubscribed. Because I went to go watch Michigan versus UCLA last night. And I was like, damn, I'm going to have to sign up because I got to watch this. And I was like, let me just open the app.
I'm not at that tax bracket where I can just be charged for things and not even know.
Well, I don't know if that's even happening. I thought when I got rid of Xfinity TV, because that's where I have it. I'm Like, that's, so I got it through
so
that.
This, again, this shows the level of your riches.
Well, no, I think I still have it because I have the internet.
No, what happens is when you get charged for that, so what it does is you get charged for it and then refunded for it.
On their, like, Xfinity bill or something?
Yeah,
like that.
And then, so you leave Xfinity, you just stop getting refunded for it.
Well,
that's what people like Jesse and myself, yes, who watch, like, our dollars, we recognize that,
well,
stuff.
You don't, I have a you budget. Don't quite see that, you know what that is.
Well, I don't, I'm going to have to check that out.
Then. Do you have a budget?
Absolutely. That's why I got rid of the cable in the first place.
No, that's true. No, cable was ridiculous. There's no purpose in having cable.
I got to say, Chatty House is looking for a flag, too, but we'll let it play out.
Wait, what happened?
Talking about how Peacock is up and ready to go.
Come on, man.
You were kind of toeing the line there, but we'll let you play
Come on.
Nah.
I saw it too, nah, but we'll play on.
If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it.
All right, the sideline judge got it then.
We didn't already have four players.
I tried to
hey,
play on.
If Eric Spoelstra can get a review, then so can we.
Look at Mark Davis over here.
Well, yeah, I'm not the official. Jesse's the official.
He's Mark Davis. I want to be Gucci 2.0.
I'm Eric Spoelstra in this situation. I just egged the official on a little bit.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so I'm watching Office tonight.
No, you're
Kings,
not.
No Kings game.
You and I are together watching tonight. Then when we part and go home, we're going to watch Oklahoma City and Cleveland. You're not watching The Office tonight. Stop lying to the people who invest their time into this show.
I'm gonna watch Office.
Do you ever feel bad about lying to the people who listen to this?
I'm going to watch at least one episode.
No,
episode 2, or excuse me, season 2, episode 2.
No, you're not. You're not watching an episode tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that I know that
Peacock
is back.
On behalf of D'Lo and Casey, I apologize for Kenny just blatantly lying to
all of the time. I didn't know Peacock was up and running. So now that I know this is popping off, yeah.
You have to stop doing that. It's been pointed out to you. You have to stop talking about the Peacock popping off. Stop it. You have to stop. It's already been, you're on the verge of getting thrown out.
Yeah, you're
out.
Lucky my flag is on the other side over here of the
room. They can't call every holding. they can't call every pass interference.
Unbelievable. Oh, well, this has been an eventful 1 o'clock hour. Is Mark on the phone?
He is on the phone. He thought he might be able to get on the stream, but
is he ever going to be able to get on the stream?
Maybe.
Our man Mark Ames.
Maybe.
Mark Haynes, Sacramento Observer, is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. I guess after felt like five straight days of talking about the Kings and Doug Christie and inadvertently crapping on Mike Brown's entire existence.
We've gone 2 hours today.
We've done good.
About Mike Brown's firing.
And all we did was maybe correlate him to Mike McCarthy a little bit. And
we said Mike McCarthy's a good coach.
I think that he is. And I'm actually curious to see how this thing with Mike McCarthy plays out. I think Mike should consider firing his agent. And again, maybe this is normal because we never see it get to this point.
Yeah.
Where a coach's contract expires. Maybe this is just completely normal where there's a 7-day window after the contract expires. But in I don't think it's limited, but my experience with, I've never seen that. I've seen negotiating windows. I have never seen an exclusive negotiating window after a contract has ended.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So, good luck to Mike McCarthy.
I don't know about that one. I don't know how that worked out. All I know is they better bring him back. That'd be kind of messed up at this point.
I think they're going to. I mean, if we go off of what Jerry Jones has said all year, like, it.
Well, we should never do that.
Well, he doesn't make sense, but, like, it's just what he believes. It's just like, yeah, like, he hasn't been against bringing back Mike McCarthy. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back before Kenny launches into a Jerry Jones impression here with D'Lo and Casey,
well,
Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. Okay, we got like a minute before Jesse calls Mark. What was the final season of The Wire?
It was just kind of random. Like, it was random. That was when Omar jumped off the 4-story building.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Like, the ending was just kind of like the ending. Like, it was so nondescript.
Yeah.
It was really nondescript. Season 2, I used to think season 2 was terrible, too. And then during COVID, I went back and watched. I was like,
it's not that bad. The story is actually really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem was the season wasn't bad. It was just such a departure from what season 1 was.
Yeah. And they kind of went away from that.
And it was like, Yeah. Okay.
Season 5 was the worst. Season 5 was just, what are we doing?
Steven brings up Ozark. Did you watch Ozark?
I didn't.
Ozark was good. Ozark was really good. Breaking Bad was good. I haven't rewatched Breaking Bad ever. I watched it once. And I remember liking it, but not as, like, I thought it was good. It was really, really good. Thought the ending to that one was good as well.
Oh, that's what season 5 was for The Wire, too, was the newspaper. The newspaper started to get involved in, like.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
kind of what it was. It's like LeBron right now. Like, yeah, putting up 22 is good, but it ain't what it was.
Oh, whenever you can dunk like LeBron did last night. Oh, I'll take it.
That was nasty.
Mark Haynes of the Sacramento Obs join us here in just a second. Jesse going to get him on the phone. We'll talk. Or is he on the phone? Oh, no, Jesse going to get him on the phone. We'll talk to him. And we'll talk Kings basketball. Yeah. We'll see what Mark thinks about this turnaround, question mark, and maybe what constitutes a turnaround for the Sacramento Kings. For me, it's kind of clawing your way back to 500. That's like, okay. And I said this 2 weeks ago because they had clawed themselves back to 500 before the 6-game losing streak. It was, all right, kind of wiped the slate clean here. What type of record can you put together for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they thought otherwise and were like, let's lose 6 straight games first, bring DC in here and see what he can do. And now we've got Doug Christie on a 5-game winning streak. As we bring in our man, Mark Haynes of the Sacramento Observer. Mark, always great to talk to you. My man, first, let's just start with the easy question. Your thoughts on watching Doug Christie the last handful of games?
Man, I'm liking what I see. It seems like, a lot of teams, when they switch coaches or whatever, you always get that, that burst of energy from everybody, and everybody want to, make the new coach look good, and the Sacramento Kings are doing a good job of that. But just the interaction with the players, the way he's talking about his players, I think this is an energy and a feel that he can sustain, over time. So I really like, everything that I'm seeing from Doug, and I think it could go, it could go for a while. Not saying the streak will go for a while, but this energy.
What's the one thing that you can put your finger on that is, if it is, it simply the energy, or are there schematic things that you see? Is it, obviously we talk about Keon Ellis playing, everybody's noticing that, but is it just that these guys are playing with the things that are undefinable, like confidence and energy and all that other stuff, or do you see something basketball wise that looks different with Doug Christie out there?
Well, it's more so like, how they talk about the players' coach. This is a guy that's played, basketball at the highest level, obviously. And I think, not to say that they didn't buy into what Mike Brown was doing the first, during his tenure here. But I just feel like there's a level of trust that Doug has with these guys, like, straight from the back. Obviously, he's been an assistant coach for them or whatever, and now just having the full reins and being the head coach, I feel like they're just playing harder. I don't necessarily see, like, a difference in, anybody in like, schematically or anything like that. They're running, basically the same stuff. It does look like Sabonis he's not orchestrating the offense as much. But he's still, he's still doing the normal thing. So I think, obviously, like you said, bringing Keon and him playing more minutes, obviously that has something to do with Fox being out, But I imagine he's still going to play, more than he did under Mike Brown. But I really just think it's an energy thing, and they, they played bad for so long, and especially during that 6-game streak. A new face, a new voice, somebody else in charge, I think it's just been good for the team. And I really, I think it was smart of Doug to, when he took the team up there to look at the beam, and talk to him up there. And like, I felt like he's doing a good job of leading this team back into the right direction.
What do you think it was about Keon? Because, you know, we talked and, you know, not only has De'Aaron been out, Keegan was out one of those games. So three of the six games Doug has coached, someone has been out that Keon's been able to step in for, particularly the starting lineup, Mark. But as you noted, he played in the first three games as well. And I know a lot of people are curious as to what exactly Keon's role will be and how big it'll be when we hope De'Aaron returns on Friday against Boston. Again, I'm saying we hope. I certainly don't know if he will or he won't. But what do you think it was about Keon and Mike's relationship or what Mike saw in Keon that kept him off the floor at times during chunks of this season?
Yeah, that was a strange situation. It seemed like, you know, everybody who watches the Sacramento Kings play can kind of see that Keon, you know, he's been one of the impact players, you know, the last couple of seasons. And it didn't seem like he, you know, took a step back or anything. So, but, you know, I'm assuming, you know, from what I'm hearing and things like that, I'm assuming it might have been more of a practice thing. And obviously, practice translates over to games. But you know, I've coached basketball and football before, and sometimes you just find that one player that just, you know, it ain't that you don't like him, but it's just that one guy you pick on. And, you know, during Mike Brown's time, you know, he's had one of those guys every year. When he first got here, it was the Rashawn Holmes time. And then last year was kind of Davion. And I think Keon was just on board to be that guy this year.
Yeah. Let me hold on. I got to put some note in my phone. Don't let Reese play for Mark Haynes. Yeah, okay. Cool. There we go. But, no, I mean, it does happen. There's a guy on a lot of these, you know, a lot of teams that, you know, people coach with that they just – it's just not feeling the vibe. And sometimes it's justified and sometimes it's not. And then when the concern is when it's not justified and the others around you see like, hey, you're giving this guy a hard time or you're not giving him the opportunity, that's when it could spiral out of control. And that might have been what happened with this Kings team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so because, like, you know, us being from the outside looking in, that's kind of how most of I'm – speaking for everybody, and I probably shouldn't, but I feel like most of the media, you know, felt that way. It felt like, you know, Keon was just not getting a fair shake, and, you know, he was ending up the odd man out. DMPs for him on this team with, you know, having a bench that struggled all year, it just didn't make sense. And I imagine that had to do something with, you know, the departure of Mike Brown, because it, you know, and now you got Doug Christie there. He's, you know, he's playing them. Yeah, obviously, we're still looking to figure out what his role is going to be. But I don't think we're going to see any, you know, DNPs in the near future. Keon is a guy that he's a coachable player. So let me say this right. He's a coachable player, but he's one of those people that you just want to throw him out there and let him do his thing. He causes havoc. He's in the passing lane. He knocks down shots. You know, even some of them shots in that in the last game, some of the shots you're like, you know, you was kind of, especially in the clutch, you was kind of hesitant on seeing them, but he takes them with confidence and knocks them down. And, you know, sometimes he miss and you got to live with it. But his energy is needed for this team, especially. And it seemed like when they was in that six-game losing streak, they could have used him a lot more. Mm.
So how do you feel about this team moving forward? We certainly know what we're seeing. There's obviously renewed energy. The guys seem to be feeling great. They seem to love to play for Doug. Doug, I know, love being a head coach. But from a basketball standpoint, we still have questions about the rosters. That double overtime game against Miami was certainly a good example. You saw those starters, including Keon, playing massive minutes. He didn't really get a performance that you'd hope from Trey Lyles, who has been, you know, really good in most recent days. You certainly didn't get a performance that you were hoping for from Kevin Huerter, who had been good the day before against the Golden State Warriors. So from a bigger picture perspective, do you feel good about the Sacramento Kings team, or are you still kind of on edge, like there's some things to work out here?
There's definitely things to work out. But I will say this, and not even to just be living in the moment, this is the best I've felt about this team all season. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I feel good in the sense of, like I said, every game that Doug has been here, it's been, what is it, six now, whatever. Mm-hmm. The guys they seem to be playing harder, and not that they wasn't playing hard before or whatever, but it seems like they've, you know, found some type of, you know, their competitive nature is kicking in. And I felt like in the beginning of the season, they thought they would just, you know, we got DeMar DeRozan and Fox, but we're just going to be good. We just got to show up. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like. But now it feels like, you know, they're coming out and competing. But we still have to see how things are going to go when the star comes back, when De'Aaron Fox comes back, and you know, because that's going to change things again. Yeah. And it's like, you know, Doug's going to have to start all over from scratch and figure out what works. But I, as long as they could keep this, you know, this competitive spirit up, and like Doug Christie been saying, you know, the last few games, you know, believing in each other, believing in themselves, I think we can get a better finish than we got a better start.
I hear you on that. One more thing. You've seen Devin Carter a few times when he was with Stockton, and now a couple times here with the Kings. What you think of his game? What you think of what you've seen from Devin Carter so far?
You know what? I like him. I like him. He's so far, you know, it's been we only seen a short stint of him, but I like him. I like him more than I thought I would. Being a point guard, another, you know, a small undersized guard, not undersized guard, but undersized for this roster, because you know, they need some length.
Yeah.
But he plays a lot bigger. You know, he uses his athleticism and. And he's not afraid to compete. You know, he got the assignment of guarding Steph Curry, you know, in his second game. And he didn't seem intimidated, or mm-hmm. he looked ready for the moment. And I like his attitude. I like his spirit. And I think he could be, at first I was like, you know, I don't know how he's going to fit. It's going to be a lot of pressure on him being a rookie drafted to the Sacramento Kings when they could have got, you know, a Jared McCain who's from Sacramento, and Jared was having a crazy year. So I felt like he would, you know, and even Jalen Wells, who went in the second round, who gave, you know, gave us 30, you know, in Devin's mm-hmm. debut.
He was killing.
I felt like that pressure was going to kind of, you know, maybe make him start off shaky, but he looks good, man. I like him.
Appreciate you, Mark. Great stuff as always, my man. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Appreciate y'all.